If you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 3. While you're turning to Acts chapter 3, let me give you just the history of what's happening. Peter and John are going to the temple. As they're passing, they come across a lame man who people would bring him to beg at the gate. And he was asking, and he looked to Peter and John, and Peter responds and said, "Look to us," and expecting to get money. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Have you heard this verse before? "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He grabbed his hand and he lifted him up, and he went leaping, and his legs and ankles were strong, the Bible says. He had received strength where there was weakness, and he went with them to church. Hallelujah. Leaping and praising God. Well, you know, when that stuff like that happens, that's going to get some people's attention. And sometimes good people don't celebrate when God's doing a good thing. Come on, somebody. You can't always try to see God do something so you can get the approval of people, because when you're wanting God to do something, you have to go with the idea that if everybody turns on me, I still want what God has for me and not what people have for me. Because you would think everybody would celebrate it. You think everybody would acknowledge it. They recognize something that happened, but they begin to accuse them. They begin to challenge the situation. And people, naturally, the human nature of any person, you could say almost the carnal nature of any person, is to be critical even when good things are happening. You go home or you call a friend and say, "You're not going to believe what God did. I just got an amazing raise and everybody else didn't." "Well, I just don't know if I'm going to believe that. There's got to be more to it than that." But for us to operate in the level that God wants us, we have to be willing to, even when people are criticizing, even when enemies are surrounding, be aware of the reality that the Lord is your shepherd. He will prepare a table for you, even in the midst of your enemies. And you're wanting to fulfill the destiny that God has for you, not so that you get more people to like you. The goal is not trying, and it's good for people to like you. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying go out and make a lot of enemies, but if the number one priority in our lives is to get people to agree or like us, we will find ourselves in bad positions in life, because people trying to get you will try to manipulate you to do what they want for their own motivation. Okay, we got to get back to the text. And Peter and John, and they said, "And silver or gold have I none." And so he began to see God do something amazing. Say, God wants to do something amazing in my life and through my life. Let's say that again. Say, God wants to do something amazing in my life and through my life. Let's try that again. Say, God wants to do something amazing in my life and through my life. And I love this, because it wasn't just something that we have to kind of re-click and realign and retrain our perspective. Because in the typical church world, when you talk about God doing something amazing, it's usually something that can be argued away. "Ooh, God just helped me with that. Yeah, I bet that was just a coincidence." But church, I believe God has for us to begin to live at a level that God, when he is doing something amazing in and through your life, it's something that cannot be denied. It's something that cannot be ignored. It's something that cannot be explained away. What do you say when you don't believe, and they didn't like Peter, they didn't like John, and they didn't like Jesus, and they didn't like what was happening? But what do you say when you stand there looking at a man that you knew he had been lame since birth, and now he's healed? I'm wanting, and I'm believing for more of those amazing things for your life, where it cannot be excused away. It cannot be talked out. You cannot be denied. You cannot be, "Oh, well, I don't believe it." What do you say to the person when he says, "Listen, I can't explain how. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see." Say, God wants to do something amazing in my life, through my life, that cannot be denied by my enemies. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And in verse 16 of Acts 3, we look at this, and if you are taking notes, I want to bring your attention to this. If you're not, you can also, by the way, open up the app. On our free app, we have our notes section. And something we're doing different today, we've added some fill-in-the-blanks in our app section of notes, just in case you were interested. Acts chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, and his name, Peter's beginning to rebuttal. He's beginning to discuss what is happening. And he began to say, wait a minute, don't look at us. It wasn't me. Say, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
But he goes, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And his name and faith in his name. What was the two things that brought that healing? The name of Jesus. Don't you love the name of Jesus? Let me try that again, and I think we're in the right church. Don't you love the name of Jesus? There's somebody who had their coffee. Hallelujah. His name through faith in his name. His name through faith in his name. Sometimes we are around something so much we don't recognize the value of something. Many times greatness is not recognized until someone passes. When we are in church for any length of time, there's a tendency we hear the name of Jesus, we hear the name of Jesus, we hear the name of Jesus. In our songs, or should be in our songs. It's in our prayers, and it should be in our prayers. It's in our scripture reading, and it should be in the reading of the Bible. But sometimes we're so around something that it becomes common, and we lose the identity of how special it is.
Right.
And when that which is special becomes common, you lose your confidence in it. That's why somebody could walk in the room and your jaw drops. They may be a celebrity. They might be a movie star. They might be a successful business person. They might be a politician. It might be whoever. And they walk in the room and you're like, oh my goodness. And you just want to shake their hand. And people scream and cry when these people walk through. But to their family, they don't get any attention when they walk in the kitchen. Except for, are you going to leave your plate there? Put it in the sink. Come on, somebody. If we allow the name of Jesus to become common where it's no big deal, becomes a flippant phrasing. That's why it's dangerous to use the Lord's name in vain, because what it does is it begins to devalue the value of the name. And when we lose faith in that name, we lose the accessibility of the power that belongs to that name. We've been doing a series we just started a couple weeks ago about the name of Jesus. A lot of people quote and say the name of Jesus. A lot of people say a prayer and they say the name of Jesus. A lot of people try to deal with a problem and they run into a situation where it doesn't seem like it has power. But I'm here to discuss a little bit today some scriptures that identifies the placement of that name. Because if we don't begin to meditate and spend time reading the Word and begin to feed our spirit so that the seed of the Word, Mark 4, Matthew 13, can get into our heart with understanding, we will not have faith, because Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing the Word. And we have to begin to understand through the revelation of truth the power that's in that name. The power that's in that name. The power that's in how powerful is the name of Jesus? How powerful is the name of Jesus? Because we've become a society, and that which is a blessing sometimes can be mishandled and become a curse. But we have become a society, and it's worldwide. We're so many different religions, so many different mindsets, so many different philosophies. I see bumper stickers on cars that say and have the symbols of every religion of the world, and they say, can't we all get along? And the answer to that is no.
Right.
Because there is only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son.
Right.
Do you hear me? Well, that offends me. Well, welcome to being offended. You can be offended. You have a right to be offended. There is no constitutional right that gives you a right not to be offended. And when people says that offends you, that's your right. Get over it. It's if everything was a constitutional right of has to be removed, it offends you, then people should stop living the way they're living on TV and in the world, because that's pretty offensive. Did you hear me? It's amazing how we allow people who don't serve God, don't live for God, begin to dictate what we have to do. Well, you shouldn't pray. That might offend somebody. It should offend them. It doesn't offend them. It convicts them. They just don't know the difference. And I think we need a little bit more Holy Ghost conviction in the world. We don't have to corner people. We don't have to abuse people. We don't have to brow people. But don't stop us from being the light that God wants us to be. If you don't like it, you can move out of the room. But God has just called you to be a light. Be a light. Say, God wants to do something amazing in my life and through my life. So you could, if you look at the philosophies of the world, you see all these different people, Muhammad, Confucius, the list goes on and on. And if we're not careful, we'll be bombarded with all these ideologies and we begin to think that, oh, Jesus is just one way, one idea, one path of many. Heard a person say he was famous. I'll not mention their name because they don't have a right to have it mentioned from the pulpit, but on TV made a comment, followed by millions, and made the comment, there has to be more than just one way to heaven. No, there's only one way. Because nobody else could do what Jesus could do. Did you hear me? So I want to talk a little bit about where the power in that name and the ranking. Where, if you lined up all of the great philosophers, all of the leaders of every religion, good, bad, or indifferent, I want to know, where does Jesus fall in the mix? Some of you follow rankings on players, you follow rankings on teams, you follow rankings on business, whatever it might be. Where do they fall? Where? Who's number one? Who's number two? Who's number three? Where in the ranking of priority? Where in the ranking of power? Where in the ranking of success? Where does Jesus fall in that ranking? What does the Bible say? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. If you have your Bible or you look to the screen, it says that far above, say far above. Say far above. Notice this, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Jesus' name is far above. He is far above. He is far. A name, you got to understand, the identity of a name in the Bible wasn't in context of what sounded culturally relevant or what sounded good to the last. No. The name represents rank and position. Hebrews says he was inherited a most excellent name. That name is far above. Say far above.
Far above.
It's far above who? All principality, all power, and might, and dominion, and in every name that is named. Not only this world, but also that which is to come. Past, present, and future. Matthew 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Say, all power.
All power.
I want this to, these are not deep thoughts. These are probably things you've heard before, but I want you to listen to me. Listen to me. It's not a matter of I have heard it. It's a matter of faith comes by hearing. There is a spiritual principle that has to be applied. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Part of the principle of God's system is to get that word before your eyes and in your mouth and in your, so you can get it in your heart. Joshua 1, 6 to 10, Matthew 13, Mark 4. It's to get it there so it becomes a seed of understanding, a seed, and that seed produces faith, and that faith produces a change. Can I get an amen? It's not a matter of give me something. We don't always have to have something super deep. Sometimes we got to go back to the basics and say, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And is it working?
Right.
Say, the name of Jesus,
is above all.
So you could say it this way. Jesus' name carries all power. If you're in the notes section, that'll be right there. Jesus' name, his name, carries all power. Jesus' name carries all power. All power.
Amen.
That's why you can tell people God bless you and they don't mind that. But you reference Jesus? Come on, somebody. Do you believe in God? Oh, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Something about that name. You want to get people nervous. I'm not saying we don't be weird, okay? But you reverence the name of Jesus. Watch it change the atmosphere. Even, and this goes all the way back to even in the Bible. They challenged the disciples in Acts. It says, we want you to stop preaching in that name. They didn't say stop preaching. Just stop preaching in that name. That name carries power. I mean, sometimes you, if you don't even know what to pray, just walk the hallways of your house and lift up your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the, I feel darkness, but I'm saying in the name of Jesus. I feel demonic activity, but I'm saying in the name of Jesus. I feel fear trying to grip my body, but I say in the name of Jesus. I feel pressure pushing on, but in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you begin to let the name of Jesus resound in your house, it's making some of you right now feel a little uncomfortable. And those are expensive, comfortable chairs. It's not the chair, baby. There's something against you that's trying to get you to move out of the situation because it doesn't like the name of Jesus. Someone shout the name of Jesus. We can't be a sissy about God. We can't be passive in the name of Jesus. Changes the atmosphere. Far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, every name that is named. Jesus. Jesus. Something, we sing a song, something about that name. 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 It'll calm a storm, it'll heal a child. Something about that name. Bring clarity and focus. Something about that name. Jesus. Some of you are afraid to even say it right where you're sitting right now. You're in the house of God. If you can't say the name of Jesus in the house of God. We'll get into this in the future, and I don't want to go down this road too much, but I mean, there is power in that name. And again, you don't have to be weird. Whatever you do, don't go through a fast food lineup and start being weird and saying, Jesus, what should I order? Shut up and order. You're holding me up. You're slowing Chick-fil-A's time down. They're fast. They're the fastest one. You can't slow them down. But there's power in that name. I mean, even for me, if someone I'm talking to and I'll find where they begin to speak into my life and I didn't ask them to speak into my life, you know somebody like this or have this happen, and they begin to say something, not out of a question, but almost out of a declaration. We call it, in the Bible times, we call it prophetic. They begin to decree and declare something in your life of absolute finality without even giving your opinion. And when I find people come across a situation where they begin to say something with finality that is of a negative nature, that is not aligned with the promises of God's word, I've got comfortable where I look right at them and say, I curse that in the name of Jesus. Saved or unsaved, I don't care. But I'm letting them know that the words out of their mouth is not going to come into my life. You say, where's that in the Bible? That's what the Bible says, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. I let those words know they are not coming to me or my hope. I curse that in the name of Jesus. Why? Because there's power. 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 Power in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name has power. Why does it have power? I'll give you two reasons today. Why does it have power? Number one, it has power because Jesus' name has all power from conquest. From conquest. It means he defeated someone. He was the champion. He's not talking by ideas. He showed up. It's one thing to have friends say, oh, I'm praying for you. It's another thing to have someone show up. He showed up on the scene. He could have sat in the throne room of heaven looking down and said, I'm just going to pray for him. But the Father said, I want you to go. He said, I'm going. I'm going to show up. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 15 tells us that we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Having spoiled, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Another translation says that when he, after he died on the cross, Jesus already told him before it happened. He said, and you ought to, I mean, even if you're an atheist, you ought to at least give it to a person who can predict their own death, when, how, and what's going to happen afterwards. Before it happened, he predicted, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die. And just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish or whale for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three. He predicted. He told it all. He already spoke the word that he was going to be resurrected. And they didn't even understand it. They could not perceive it, even though they heard it. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that after he died, they took his physical body and put it in a borrowed tomb, because when you're coming back, you don't need to pay for anything. Just borrow it for a little bit. And the Bible says that he went into the belly of the earth. He went into the dominion of the damned. The word hell can be used for several different things in the Bible. One hell is the lake of fire. No one's there yet. That happens after the great white throne judgment. But there is the dominion of the damned, where the devil's kingdom is. And for the first time, when Jesus walked in on the scene in the pit of hell, they saw something they had never seen before, because to that time before, everyone who showed up in hell was there out of disobedience to the Father. But all of a sudden, they saw Jesus, who came not out of disobedience. He came out of obedience to the Father, and he didn't come to be hurt. He came because he said, it is finished. The price was paid on the cross of Calvary. And he walked in, he came in to take the keys of the death, hell, and the grave. Are you with me? And the Bible says that he made show of the devil openly, which means he paraded him, which means he said, come on, put him on a chain and walk through the pit of hell. It's how I want you to know there is only one master. There's only one name above. You need to know that. The next time a demon shows up at your house and tells you, I'm going to kill your boy, you need to raise up and say, no, 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 no. You've already been defeated. I don't stand in my name. I stand in the authority. I represent God. I stand in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, take your hands off him. One thing in my life I'm going to do, I'm going to keep working until we see the church be the church that God has called you to be. You are not passive. You are not weak. You are not timid. You are the greatest idea out of the heart of God to birth this idea of a church more than a building, denomination, organization, or religion. It's the body of Christ. When you understand that Jesus didn't wrestle with the devil and just barely win. He fought him. He beat him. He embarrassed him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever played it? For those who are athletes, you understand that. Or if you watch sports, there's one thing to beat a team. There's another thing to beat a team so bad they call it you own them. That means the next time you play them, mentally, they can't even get the courage to challenge you anymore. They don't walk on the court or on the field trying to beat you. They're trying not to lose so bad this time. That's called owning them. Because when you walk in with confidence. Remember last time? They're so freaked out. They're like, oh, I wish I was sick. I wish I wasn't here. Oh, I hope I'm not embarrassed this time. And you got to remember, you are part of the body. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror. And when the devil shows up, look at him with a smile and say, remember last time. What do you mean last time? Well, let me take you, just in case you forgot. Make the devil sit down. Would you do that? Tell the devil, sit in that chair. Let me read to you. Don't you go anywhere yet. I'm going to read to you. You're a devil master. You just don't know it yet. You don't know it yet, but you're coming to the identity, who you are in Christ. So the room will get cut. No, 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 no. Come on back, devil. Bring that stupid eeriness you thought you was going to intimidate. You sit right here. Let me begin to read to you what Colossians says. Let me begin to read to you what the Bible says. Let me tell you what you didn't realize that I already knew. You are defeated. Lester Sumrall talks about a story early in his ministry. He was traveling abroad, and he had been preaching a crusade into a foreign country that had a lot of witch doctors. And during the back of the crusade, witch doctors would stand while he was preaching, and they would try to cast curses. He ignored them. No big deal. That night when he was laying in his bed, he said all of a sudden a breeze came through blowing the curtains and the windows were closed. An eeriness filled the room. His bed began to shake and rattle and moved into the middle of the room. He was awakened to all that stuff. You know when you wake up, sometimes you're not totally there. And he was awakened to that stuff. But instead of being afraid, he had faith in the name of Jesus. Folks, it doesn't mean that your body doesn't feel fear, but you can say, no, no, that's what my body's feeling, but I'm not afraid. Come on, somebody. And the story goes that in the midst of that, he spoke up, bound that evil spirit, rebuked it, and commanded it to leave the room. And all of a sudden, the curtains went down, the eeriness left, bed settled down, and then it dawned on him, something's not right. I have authority to make him leave. I have authority to make him do stuff. And he called that demon back in this room. He said, that demon that just left my room, in the name of Jesus, you come back here. The room filled with eeriness, the curtains began to move. And he said, before you came in last time, my bed was in that corner. Now put it back. So the bed began to move, rolling back into the corner. He said, now get out of here. Don't you ever come back. Get. Like you talk to a stupid dog that's barking and annoying you. Get in the name of Jesus. You stomp your foot. You don't have to be passive and trying to negotiate. You begin to take your authority in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is defeated. He has already lost. Jesus paraded him openly. If you don't understand that, then it doesn't make near as much powerful sense to you when Jesus begins to say, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You're like, yeah, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. It makes a lot more sense when you look at this verse. It says, verse 10, and you are complete in him. Because if you don't know what somebody's worth, what they can do, their word doesn't mean anything. But if you understand the power backing their word, then you understand there is when they begin to speak, it will happen. Jesus' name has all power from conquest. Say, he defeated the enemy. Say, he defeated the devil. Well, why does the devil bother me? Because he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He roams around looking to whom he may can devour. But greater is he that is in you. Come on, somebody. See, a thief doesn't bring attention. I'm showing up. A thief only tries to come in the darkness of the night when you're not aware. And now that you're aware, come on. But I just don't shut up. Tell your feelings to shut up. You get in the word till you get faith on the name of Jesus. You know, and once you get to that point, I'm telling you, there's a place where you don't even have to sometimes say anything. Have you ever been there with your parents? I mean, my dad had a look. He didn't have to say it. He had already established an understanding that when he was across the room, if I said or did something he did not approve of, he gave me a look. I could feel it from the side of my head. I didn't even know what's going on. Something's wrong. I didn't go, oh, he's looking at me. And he gave me a look, and I knew exactly what he was thinking. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew exactly something was not right. I needed to straighten up. I'm telling you, I understood it because I had been there before. And all of a sudden, when you understand the authority in the name of Jesus, you just begin to give a look, and the devil's going to say, I don't even know, something's not right. And oh, they're looking at me. Oh, they're giving me that look. I know. That's what happened when Jesus would walk. He would just be minding his own business, and demons would scream out, have you come before the time to torment us? Jesus, torment. The name of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. Are you listening to me? It torments the devil. You're worried about not being tormented by the devil. Turn the tables on that joker. Say, you want to mess with me? Let's go. Roll up your sleeves. Say, I got a little time. I'm going to begin to give name to the, I'm going to give praise to the name of Jesus. Something about that name. Begin to, just start singing, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus. Watch, things begin to change. Begin to praise the name of Jesus. You will torment the devil. You will torment the devil. Give it a few more seconds. He's going to be running. Then you're going to be looking for him. I'm reminded of David, who faced Goliath and everybody was afraid. But David told Goliath, "You come unto me with a sword and a shield and a spear, but I come against you in the name." And when he cut that joker's head off, the Bible says they just didn't celebrate. It emboldened. It just gave a strength and a boldness to everybody that was hiding and was afraid before. And they rose up and they began to change and charge the enemy. And they didn't just charge them until they left and couldn't see them. They charged them from city to city, town to town. Because Goliath had other brothers that were giants. One that intimidated him. But once he was defeated, none of them intimidated. They were going after it. And I speak over your life, as you begin to walk in the victory that God has for you, it's going to be the strength, the charge. Your life will begin to motivate other people and say, wait a minute, if God's doing that for them, God can do that for me. I don't have to live this way. I don't have to stay this way. I don't have to tolerate. I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night screaming because I'm afraid with nightmares. I don't have to deal with fear and oppression. I don't have to feel this negativity the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy that my life is. I don't have to deal with voices taunting and tormenting. No. If you're dealing with voices, let me tell you, you're probably being silent. You're not talking enough. The devil start messing with your mind. Say, oh, thank you for reminding me. I've been praised him today. And begin to speak out of your mouth. Begin to decree and declare. Begin to read the word. Begin to declare the goodness of God and the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus' name has all power from conquest. Jesus' name has all power also from God. Philippians 2, 9. Are you getting anything today? I said, are you getting anything today? Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Wherefore God has highly, highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that's hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. What is that saying? If it has a name, I don't care what they call that disease. I don't care if you can't say it, can't spell it, can't write it. If it's got a name. For God himself has highly exalted and given him a name above all names. That means he is top dog, pecking order, number one, ranked number one, and there he is so high, far above, there's no 2, 3, or 4. You have to get down to 20 or 30 before anybody else shows up. He is that amazing. He is that amazing. And the mercy and goodness of the Father, we see this even in Revelation in heaven, that there is a time and will be a moment where it gets silent and they're saying, who is worthy to open the seals? And for 30 minutes, the Bible says, it will be dead silent as everybody waits for somebody who is able, who is willing, who's deserving, who is worthy, and no one will show up. And then all of a sudden, as John began to cry, the angel said, don't cry. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold Jesus, the expressed image of the Father. He will step on. It's like he's saying, I'm not going to force myself. If you think you can do it, go ahead. I'll give everybody a shot. And there is nobody in all of creation that will be able to do it except for Jesus. And he'll walk up and say, I'll take that position. He is far. He said, he is far. Highly exalted. Notice that at that name, but once you get a mental picture, when you say the name of Jesus, that demon that was messing with you on Sunday morning drive to church. He's going to have to take Prozac when you get done with him. That tension, that negativity, hallelujah. At that name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Just say it again. Say Jesus. Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. Jesus. Something about that name and it's Jesus. Jesus' name is unlike anyone else. Unlike anybody else. There's nobody that compares to Jesus. Nobody compares to Jesus. Nobody compares to Jesus. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's hard for my mind to understand the comprehension of that. But in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible tells us. And then it begins to say, and you are part of his body. He's the head. You are the... You're not the tail. You're the body. You're quoting the wrong verse. But I appreciate your enthusiasm for trying. Thank you for playing. See, I'm part of the body. And where's the devil? Under his feet. As long as I'm in the flow of who he is, he's the head. Remember, we talked last week about priority. Importance and priority. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee. We'll back it up before. It says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then resist the devil, he will flee. What are you doing when you submit yourself under God? You're saying, not my will, your will. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to obey what you show me in this word. And I'm getting myself back into position. I'm getting myself back connected to you. Because when you are connected to him, he's the vine, you are the branch. When you are connected, the branch has access to everything that belongs to the vine. We have so many people who walk around like we're second-rate Christians. Maybe it's because you had a bad history. Maybe because you were living in sin. Maybe because you don't feel the calling of God on your life is so important that it should be recognized. Listen, the calling of God doesn't mean a full fivefold ministry. God didn't call everybody to be fivefold ministry, but he called you to be part of his body. And when you're part of his body, you carry rank. Do you hear me? You carry authority. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. You want to know how much authority? You want to know how much rank? Even when Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, he said, why'd you go hear John? And he said, I want you to know of all prophets born from women, there is none greater than John. That made John the number one in the ranking. You don't tell me they don't think about rankings. The disciples fought on who's going to be number one. But they did it with the wrong attitude. Jesus said, John is ranked number one of all the prophets born of women. He's number one. But then he goes... But whoever's in the kingdom, the New Testament, whoever is least in the kingdom, I'm telling you, you can be last in the class. You ever heard of the story? What do you call a student in medical school who graduates last in their class? You know what you call them? Doctor. Some of you are going to get dead in a minute. You might feel like, God, I am last in the class. It don't matter. If you in the class and you are part of the body of Christ, you can be the least in the kingdom. And in the New Testament, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, who was the greatest in the old. Say, God wants to do something amazing in my life. And through my life. You see, I need my prayers to be answered. Well, we're going to get your faith built up in the name of Jesus. Because Peter said, don't look to us as if we healed that man. But it was the name of Jesus and faith in his name that made him whole. Something about that name. I'd like to say it then. Something about that name. So don't use the name of Jesus as a cuss word. Don't use it as a slang. Don't use it as a derogatory problem because there's so much value in that name. It's not to put you under condemnation. It's just to awaken you that that's the tactic of the enemy to get you to devalue, depreciate the name. So when you go to use that name, the devil says you don't mean it because that name doesn't mean anything to you. But I decree over your life that next time you begin to use the name of Jesus in combat, in prayer, in whatever, in praise, that it carries with it the anointing of all power. See, I'm growing. I'm telling you, I'm growing too. I'm growing. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I will not be satisfied until I can walk down the streets like Peter and have my shadow heal somebody. I will not be satisfied until I can speak from a distance and raise the dead. I will not. Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do also. I will not be satisfied. I used to get mad when I'd walk into a strange room and people would start getting weird, get angry at me for no reason. Now I take it as a compliment. Hallelujah. I don't know them, they don't know me, but there's something that's with, come on, somebody. Say something about that name. Now, Father, as they lift their hands, I just speak the name of Jesus over their life. I call the order of God into their home, into their lives, their careers, their future, their mind, their heart, their body, their finances, everything that relates to them that you've given them. I thank you, Father. We decree and declare the order of God, the will of God, to be done. We break the power of the enemy off their life. We break defeat and fear off their life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you bow your head and close your eyes? No one looking around. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know that he's real? You don't have to live with that heavy weight, that burden, that cloud over your life. You don't have to live life empty and wondering, without purpose, without understanding. You don't have to live and just attend a church because you think it's the right thing to do and you have no relationship. Christianity is, it's not about a religion, which I define as man's rules to get to God. It's about a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, I'll come in. You give me an opportunity and I'll do what only I can do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know him, Romans 10 tells us, with the heart man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Which means if you pray a prayer from your heart, he'll hear it. A simple, short prayer can carry an eternal difference. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pray this prayer with me. Let it come from your heart if you don't know him. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for me, and on the third day rose again for me. I repent of all my sins, and I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me in your blood. I receive you today. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I just want you to simply lift your hand and look me in the eyes, and you can put your hand back down after we catch eyes. I just want to know who I was praying with. One, two, three. Pastor, that was for me. I see the hand, I see the hand, I see the third hand. Anybody else? In the center, fourth hand, fifth hand, God bless you. Sixth hand, God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Seventh hand, God bless you. Thank you. Eighth hand in the very back. Ninth, God bless you. Tenth, God bless you. Anybody else? 11th, thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Let's give them a big hand clap. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Well, we have a few announcements and a gift we want to give you just for coming today. Before we do that, let's get ready to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, if you would take your positions. I'm excited about what God has placed in our heart to do for this last half of the year. If you need an offering envelope, if you're giving by cash, credit card, or debit card, just lift your hand as high as you can. The ushers will come by quickly and give that to you. We want to thank you for partnering with us. Membership is more than just I show up ever so often. Membership is actually taking ownership, attending, serving, but also bringing your tithes and offerings. Tithing is a principle. It was not only talked about in the law, but that law symbolized everything that was going to happen in the New Testament, the spiritual side, which we see in Hebrews chapter 7. There's a benefit. There's a connection. You're not forced to tithe, but if you want God's covenant blessing, you want that covenant access. A lot of people, they struggle with even their prayers because of their lack of generosity. Where do you get that? Out of James. James says, you have not because you ask not. And then when you do ask, you ask amiss because you ask for your own consumption. See, God doesn't mind us having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have us. There's a balance. He doesn't want you to go without. If your tithing and giving causes you to go without, you're doing something wrong.
Because in the process of it, it's a seed that's supposed to come upon wave upon wave, Ecclesiastes. Jesus said, no man gives to the kingdom, to me in the kingdom of God, that doesn't receive a hundredfold in this life. Given shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men. God uses people to bless you. It's your obedience to what God shows you to do that makes a difference. Amen. Too many people try to reroute God's system. That's like going on the basketball court with a baseball bat. What are you doing? Oh, I think this will help me out. That's not how we play that game. Sometimes God will look and say, that's not how I play that game. Don't do it your way. Find out the rules of God's game. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that's why we don't put pressure on people to give. There's several extremes. One is they force people to give because they know either A, they're trying to meet a budget, or B, they want people to do well. But the other extreme is people don't talk about money. Listen, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. And if I don't talk about money, I'm not identifying with the priorities of your life. Amen. I'd rather you get mad at me today and then celebrate later what God does when you hear the truth. Because how you handle your money definitely identifies what's important to you. And so it's not a matter of, if I don't give, the church is going under. Listen, I don't give to stuff that's going under. I give to where God guides me. God connects me. And so your tithe belongs where you are spiritually receiving food. I've had people say, well, my membership is at where I grew up. That's not a membership. Membership is where you're going. Did you hear me? Come on, we get some weird. I had one person say, well, I need to call that old church that I used to grow up in and see if they'll transfer my membership. What, are they going to tell you no? Where do we live? Walk on. You find out where God wants you. And if it's here, obey God here. Amen. But there's tithing. Well, I'm going to do a series one day, not today, because we just preached. But people need to know the difference even in giving, because there's tithing, there's offerings, there's alms. Alms is what you give to the poor. You can't say, oh, I'm tithing by I'm feeding the hungry. That's not tithing. That's alms. And if you're struggling with that, it's because you're not backing up doing it right. You don't get to third base until you get to first base. But I want to be on third. Well, then get to first, then go to second to third. Okay, I'll leave that alone. I got you. Some of you are going, huh? Okay, so anyway, let's hand out some. What do we have? Some wristbands? Let's hand out a free wristband if you'd like to have a